I want to draw your attention to the blue sheet you have right near you. We need your help. We're really excited about this one-day event that's coming up on October 13th. Our church's responsibility is coat drive, and we need your help. Maybe it's your work. We have found from people that have the Granny White Church in Nashville does this every year, and they said the usually the most successful way of getting coats is through a workplace. So maybe it's schools is another good place if somebody has an opportunity there. So if you can put this up at your workplace and be a voice for us, and the drop-off locations, Harvest House over here on, where are you, Courtney? Wednesday nights, it will be open, and Sunday mornings, correct? So, and these other drop-off locations as well at Markham's Pharmacy and Shelton's Dentistry. So make sure you help us out this week because that event is coming up very quickly. It's interesting that I heard a preacher share this story one time. He asked his congregation to read Mark chapter 17 in preparation for his sermon the following week. And so the following Sunday came, and he asked the congregation, so how many have read Mark chapter 17? And about half the congregation raised their hand. He said, okay, now for those of you that did not raise your hand, you may leave. Have a great day. God bless you. For the rest of you, we're going to talk about lying because there's only 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark. So God is concerned about integrity, and as we work through the Sermon on the Mount together, we're going to find that honesty is something very important to God. Now, integrity. What is integrity? Well, and why is it important? First of all, integrity defines to others who you are as a person. When you want to be remembered, you want to be remembered as a person that kept their word, that were honest, that were real. It's amazing how you think of certain politicians, you think of certain actors and actresses, and you mention their name, and the first thing you think about is what? Something they did that maybe was bad, or something that they did that was hurt their integrity. Secondly, it determines how you will react in certain situations. When we're put in a situation to sin, to do something wrong, integrity is what holds us at that point. What will we do with it? Integrity basically is who you are when no one else is looking. I saw there on the sign today at First Baptist Church, they had that right in bold letters. Character and integrity are kind of one and the same thing. Who we are when no one else is looking. Integrity also demonstrates our spiritual condition. You learn a lot about what someone is like by the words they use, by the actions they put out each day. So integrity comes out in our words and our actions. Fourth, a lack of integrity kills your witness for Christ. Once we lose, as we talked a few weeks ago, once we lose the saltiness, we cannot get it back again. Once we lose our influence over other people, we can lose our witness for Christ if we compromise our integrity. Ultimately, integrity pleases God. I know my heart, David says, I know my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. So today, let's talk about honesty as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. If you want to open up your Bibles, we can be turning there in just a moment here. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we ask your forgiveness for those times that we have not been men and women of integrity. We've let something out. We haven't told the truth completely about a situation. We ask you, Lord, that you help us be men and women that will honor you. And help our yes be yes and our no, no, and that's all it needs to be. Help us, Father, this day and this week to let your light shine in our lives, to be salt to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Honesty is God's policy. You know, you got to hand it to a homeless guy that has a sign like that. At least he's honest. He's being honest. Honesty is something that is very important to the Father. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33, listen to these words. Jesus continues, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, and by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. It's interesting when you hear the word vow, we think of a courtroom scene. Now, Jesus, let me make it clear first off, he's not talking about the saying that we cannot take vows in a courtroom, you know, where you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You may put your hand on a Bible. He's not talking about that here. What he's talking about is how many Pharisees and religious teachers in the first century kind of found a way to be dishonest if they would say a vow. We find an example in Matthew 23 where Jesus says, you guys say, you know, I swear by the gold in the temple. But if I'm not swearing by the temple, I'm not accountable to the Lord. And he uses that example to show you what they were doing. For example, they would say, I'm going to pay you back this money I owe you, and I swear it by the gold in the temple that I'm going to do that. And in reality, what they were thinking was, I'm not going to pay that person back. I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to put a vow to it. And in their mindset, they're still being honest because they're using a vow. Jesus is saying they're abusing that. And they obviously had different vows, one for heaven, one for God's throne, for the earth, for Jerusalem, and one to swear by their head. Jesus said, that's not good enough. If you have an inner righteousness, he's concerned about what's coming from the heart. He wants us to be people of integrity. We mean our yes and we mean our no. That's it. That should be all that we have to say. We should be known as people that are honest. We shouldn't have to say, you know, I swear to God I'm going to pay you back on a stack of Bibles. That's exactly what he's talking about, what we should not do. We should be known for our honesty. When he says that, he means yes, and when he says no, he means no. Why do people lie? There's many good reasons why people lie. First of all, they fear other person's rejection. You know, it's much easier to say to the person so that they continue to like you what they want you to hear. Instead of being honest and telling the truth and saying, I value our friendship to be honest with you and to be real before you. People lie because they fear other people's rejection. Secondly, people lie because they want control over an issue. And I like this little cartoon. I'm not a control freak. I just happen to be a highly driven, focused, motivated, extraordinary, and inspiring leader. And yes, you may take time out to listen to my advice, and no, you may not do things your way. Control freak. People lie because they want to stay in control of a situation. Thirdly, people lie because they want to escape responsibility. I didn't do it. What? No. We're quick to point out that we're not guilty. We want to blame, and that's very popular in our culture today. We want to blame everybody. We want to blame, oh, it's their fault, my parents' fault. We lie to escape responsibility. We lie to avoid conflict. Nobody likes conflict. And it's much easier just to avoid it and say, you know, I'll just lie and tell them a story and then I'll be done with it so I can avoid this confrontation. And fifthly, people lie to get money. And we know that in our culture today, that is a very huge problem in our culture. So what's wrong with lying? Why can't I just text somebody the answer in class? Why is it wrong to lie? Lying is wrong because it is the opposite of the person and character of God, who is truth. God is truth. The opposite of truth is lying. We don't lie because it offends God. It is the language of the devil. That's why lying's wrong. Because it offends him who is truth. How does God feel about liars? I love that little sign there, genuine fake watches. How about that? Didn't know you could get a genuine fake watch. How does God feel about liars? Proverbs 6 has a very interesting words here. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, pride, basically, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Notice how lying is mentioned twice in these seven things that are detestable to the Lord. Very strong language. Revelation 21:8, he says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. God takes lying seriously. He takes it very seriously. How do we lie in our speech? Let's look at a few ways we do that. Sometimes we'll say we will do something, and really, in our hearts, we're not wanting to do it. Somebody will say to us, "Well, what are you doing later on? Why don't you come over to my house, and we'll go do something, and you come over, and we'll..." "Well, yeah, I'll be there, yeah." And in our mind, we're thinking, "I can't go to do that." But we don't want to offend brother or sister so-and-so, so we'll agree. I'll be there. I'll make it to that. That's lying. That's lying. Another way that we lie with our words is that we would pray for someone, but not pray. Have you ever been in a situation like that where someone has said, "Would you please pray for me? I'm going through a very difficult time," and we say, yeah, "I'll be glad to pray for you," and we walk away, and we drive off and put the radio on, and we forget what they had asked. I don't know about you, but I like to, when a person asks me to pray, I don't care whether I'm in Walmart, downtown, on the street, anywhere, I say, "Let's pray right now," and we pray. When someone asks you to pray, it is something that is really concerning them on their heart. Stop what you're doing and pray for them. Who cares what people are thinking? Pray for them, wherever you are. We lie today when we make promises we don't keep. Think about all the promises we've made to people. And dads, I'm guilty of this too. I've made promises that I haven't kept. And I want my daughter to know me as a person of my word. To me, that's more important. And how many times have we made promises? "Yeah, we'll be there at the game. Yeah, we'll be at that thing." And, something comes up at the office, whatever, and we can't make it. Be careful when you say, "I promise you I will make it." Jesus is saying your yes should be yes and your no should be no. We shouldn't have to add on things. "I swear I'll be there. I promise I'll be there." We should just be men and women of integrity. Gossip is another way that we lie with our words. If somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I want to share with you about so-and-so," here's a great way to stop gossip very quickly. Ask the person, "Have you talked to a brother or sister and so-and-so about this?" Stop them in their tracks, because listening to gossip is as sinful as to shelve it out. Ask the person, "Have you talked with brother so-and-so?" "Well, no, I haven't talked." You need to go talk with them first. Don't talk to me about it. It's so much a problem in our day and age. We struggle with gossip in the church, in the workplace, in the home, in the community. If we are men and women that are following Jesus Christ, we are people of our word. And we're not going to contribute to gossip. We're going to stop it before it gets started. And oh, how we all are guilty in this area of listening or maybe giving something that we shouldn't be sharing. And this leads to the last point. Slander. Slander is where you share something publicly that will damage someone's reputation. Slander is a very serious thing. It destroys people's reputation with something you're not 100% sure about. We shouldn't be talking about people anyway in public, something that would slander them. We should be using words of edification. Edification. Talking good things and sharing good things. Mark Twain has a great little saying here: "Speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said." Good advice. That means you can sleep easy at night if you're speaking honestly. So what are we going to do with this message today? What are we going to do? Three things. I will be completely honest with my words. Not because the Bible says lying is wrong, but because it offends my God, who is truth. If we start looking at how we live our lives, am I pleasing to the Father? I don't want to hurt God with my sin. If we look at it from a relationship standpoint, it changes how we see things. Secondly, I will let my yes be yes and my no be no. Let's be men and women of integrity. People know us well when they say it. Yeah, that's the way it is. I will do what I've said I would do, and I will keep my promises. That is so crucial for our children, for our families, for our marriages. We'll keep our promises. We'll be starting small groups, and I know you've already heard this, but I can't reemphasize it enough. We're going to be starting small groups. And this fall, we're going to be focusing on reaching the lost. And the sign-up sheets are right back there. We have lots of space still left. We have groups that are half full, okay? Each group will have a cap of 10 people so that we can invite our loved ones, friends who don't know Jesus. I want to encourage you today to maybe join a group that you haven't thought about, a group that folks that you don't even know. I want you to think about maybe there's folks that you want to get to know better. Make sure you don't leave today without signing up, because we're starting them next Sunday. Let's pray as we close. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times we have not been honest with you or with others. If we are blinded by our lies, Lord, help us see them. If we have slandered anyone, Father, please help us go to that person and confess that sin. If we've gossiped, may we seek to repair the damage. Give us self-control, Lord, over our tongues. May our words be edifying and encouraging. Help us, Lord, to let our yes be yes and our no, no. Help us do the things, Father, we have said we will do, especially with our families, especially with our children, in our workplace, in the schoolroom. May we be people that are known to be people of integrity, that keep their promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way with prayers, or if you're ready to be baptized to begin your relationship with God, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. God's grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
What a love our God has for us. And as we leave here today, it's such a blessing to be loved by a Creator who loved us so very much that He sent His Son here. And as Paul has written in the book of Romans, here has how much that He loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a love. What a Father. Would you please pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, as we leave here today, may we spread your love to this world. May we lift up your Son and let everyone see him clearly. May we be known by our love, God. We thank you so much for the example that Jesus left us here in this world. And as we walk through this world, Father, let us follow that example and be loved to others. We thank you, God, for all that you bless us with. Father, help us to live lives of honesty and integrity. Help us to live our lives for you. We thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for your Son and for your gift of grace to us. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.